The following episode was recorded live at SmileCon 2023. Welcome to Dental Dilemmas, brought to you by the ADA Council on Ethics, Bylaws, and Judicial Affairs, and I'm your host, Ansley Depp. Today, using the ADA's Code of Ethics and Professional Conduct, we will analyze one of the council's most popular ethical moments. Today's question is posed by a current CEBJA member, Dr. Alan Rivas, who is also an upcoming trustee for the 12th District. Dr. Rivas's article was previously published in November of 2022. The question posed by Dr. Rivas: a personal and professional friend of mine is in a group practice with five dentists. They have practiced together for several years with much success. The last election cycle, two of the dentists did not agree on the candidates nor the outcome. This situation grew steadily worse and began to affect the dental team, patient care, and the trust between the dentist. How does the American Dental Association Code of Ethics apply in this situation? Dr. Rivas, welcome to Dental Dilemmas. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you have practiced?
Thank you, Ainsley. It's an honor to do this. This is very exciting for me. About myself, well, first-generation dentist. I practice in Atchison, Kansas, a little town of about 11,000. Started as a solo practitioner. I brought in an associate after about 20-some years. I brought in a second associate a few years later. Then I sold the practice, then I became an associate and worked for them, and currently I am working in a federally qualified health center as the dental director.
My goodness, you have been busy in your years in dentistry. I should tell the audience that Dr. Rivas and I are good friends. We both served on the council together and are both rotating off at this point. Tell us, Alan, how did you choose dentistry as your career path?
That's an interesting story as well. In college, I was gung-ho for going into medicine. As a kid, I had a respiratory illness and ended up losing a lung. And so I've had a lot of medical care when I was 11, 12, 13 years old. I was just exposed to a lot of medicine and a lot of nurses and a lot of doctors and a lot of needles. Anyway, so as I go forward, I was in college and I started shadowing a physician, a friend of mine. And he recommended I shadow some more physicians. And every physician I shadowed, with the exception of one, were really pretty negative about their career and all the issues surrounding the practices. So when I went back to that doctor and asked him about it and told him his friends were all pretty negative, he said, "Well, why don't you talk to that dang dentist across the hall? He's always in a good mood."
I love that.
Yeah. So I shadowed, I don't know how many, an orthodontist, an endodontist, and several general dentists. And every one of them was in a great mood and encouraging. So then I made my decision to go to dentistry.
Well, you're always in a good mood. So now we know why. That's a great backstory. So in your ethical moment, you talk about establishing boundaries in the dental office to handle bringing up emotional charged subjects by patients or the providers. Do you have anything that you use in your personal office setting to share with us?
Yeah, it's not just political. It's just anything can happen. Our patients come from such a diverse background and experiences. And in a small town, you get to know everybody. And sometimes they maybe call it overshare. I always joke that we put the dental chair back and they think they're at the psychiatrist's office. And it's amazing the things that they will say. And the thing is, with our staff also being diverse and mostly female, some issues get a little too dicey. So trying to establish boundaries works on both directions. Boundaries for the staff, you know, don't bring things up, don't stir it up. And thing for the patients. And you don't want to offend your patients, but you don't want them to violate your staff's emotions either. So the boundaries, they're pretty movable, but the basics are pretty simple to me. You know, it shouldn't be offensive. It shouldn't be rude. It shouldn't be profanity. It can be controversial. Sometimes it's fun to talk about controversial things, but the discussion, we're not going to settle it today. We're not going to solve the world's problems. So it just takes a matter of calmly saying, "Hey, you know what? We're going to run out of time here. Well, let's talk about that later and let's take care of this problem today." And I've had to do that quite a few times. I think most dentists have had to do that at some point.
A little diffusion goes a long way, right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned the principle of justice or fairness, and it is important for all of us, but particularly dentists as team leaders in the office, to be fair and just with each other and our team. So do you think a written policy is appropriate in these political times, or does that violate free speech?
I think it gets real difficult to have written policies on every single thing. Maybe a policy that's a little more general about communication principles or the boundary issues, I think would be probably appropriate. And I think the thing to do is you need to include the whole team in that conversation. And maybe it's one of those days you bring in lunch and everybody just sits around and kind of talks about their comfort zones on some of these issues. I think if everybody understands each other within the team, it does a lot of defining of boundaries right there. I've seen big differences in comfort zones with my staff, and some of them are far more loose on their boundaries than I even am. So we have to really find a balance in the team.
You know, when I was in my office, we always had a morning huddle. And during our morning huddle, we would discuss the patients that were coming in that day. And sometimes those discussions did lead to, wow, we have to be a little careful with this patient, or even somebody's going to have to come in and get Dr. Depp out of the room. So I think that what you said is spot on. Communication goes a long way. And if we can have those conversations with our staff in a staff setting, then I think we can minimize some of those disruptions. So how do you handle a patient who does not respect other patients or staff members' different perspectives and perhaps makes them feel like they are in a hostile environment? Have you ever had that happen in your office?
I've had that happen a very small number of times. I'm thinking like 3 or 4 times in 30 years.
Yeah.
I think is the initial step of setting boundaries and trying to diffuse the situation goes a long way. I've actually had at least one patient where I just told them that they were not going to be able to come back to the practice. He was just a very rude, demeaning fellow. Though he's still a patient, he completely changed his profile.
Mm.
I don't think sometimes people realize how they come off and they carry baggage from their other issues or whatever into our office. And looking back on it, he was going through some tough stuff back when that happened. So I think it's understanding where they're coming from and making them aware helps a lot.
Yeah.
But inevitably, there will be someone who just needs to find a new dental home. I mean, it does happen.
And we all do bring different opinions to the table. And so sometimes that can be hard when our opinion differs from the patients or vice versa or the staff. So it is a balance. It's a constant balance. So let's take a little turn here. You have a very impressive history of giving back to your community by serving on boards and I believe even some elected office positions. So first off, what kind of positions have you served in? And then how do you handle your personal politics from affecting how your patients and staff feel comfortable in the office? I would assume that they know where you stand based on offices that you run for, or maybe not. Maybe they were nonpartisan. I'm not sure. Tell us a little bit.
Well, I got involved years ago on many levels of local government. I was in appointed positions on volunteer boards and things like that quite a bit. And that evolved into eventually running for the city commission in my city. And I got elected. And then I served the top vote getter gets a 4-year term. So I did 3 4-year terms in a row. Actually, I got a 4th term too. So I quit partway through that term because I ran for county commission and won. And so I'm currently a county commissioner.
Okay.
And as a county commissioner, it's a different dynamic as far as former government. And so currently I am running for the Kansas House of Representatives. I'm an active candidate in that area. So how did I handle when I was running in the office? I told all my office staff they were very uncomfortable because people would come by a small town, you know, hey, can I get a sign to put in my yard? Hey, can I talk to him about this issue or that issue? And so I made it real clear that 8 to 5 or whatever hours were was dentistry. Now, if someone was there, it would be rude to take a message. I'll call them back. It was very rare that I would actually have something political in the office to hand off to somebody. It might be an envelope with some information or something. Other than that, it was, this is dentistry. Politics is out there.
So you really established boundaries. And I think that is a great point to make for people who might be considering running for office. We are there to serve our patients, to do the dentistry. we can do this on our other time. I think that is a really great way of looking at this, which leads into what are the challenges to running a dental practice and a political career? Okay, so you're still working as a dentist, you're coming on as a trustee, and you told me you're running for state representative. That's a lot. So how do you manage and balance all this?
Well, I think it's a matter of timing. So when I was running for city commission and we got city commission level, it was 2 meetings a month and it was in the evening. So I missed a little bit of work, not much. And then the county commission, I'd already gone to part-time. So the once a week meeting during the day, I was able to still get there just fine. Of course, on the off hours, there's other things you do in those roles too. It's not just at the meetings, but I was able to balance that pretty good. It was busy sometimes on the city, but as I slowed down the dental side, so I'm still active in dentistry. In my current dental director role at the FQHC, I am 8 days a month. After January 1st, that's going to drop down to about 3 days a month. And I'm just strictly kind of filling in, helping out the dentist there. So that's going to be pretty easy. So in running for, and being elected trustee and running now for state rep, this also has involved talking to ADA legal, trying to figure out, are there any conflicts, any challenges to that? Because I didn't file until I talked to them.
That's great.
And they had quite a meeting, I guess, and discussed it all. And it said, no problem. But if there's a very controversial issue or any kind of a dental industry issue that might be seen as a conflict, I had to be cautious or recuse myself, which that doesn't happen a lot of state legislatures. No. So I'm not too worried about that. So basically, the trustee meetings, the main meetings, are going to be all on weekends now, the way they're restructured. The legislature in Kansas meets January through pretty much the first or second week of May. And it's always the bulk of that work is on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday because so many people commute in from across a big state. So in essence, the timing of being physically present isn't going to be a challenge.
Okay.
I think a bigger challenge is if we're kind of on crunch time at the legislature at the same time the trustees have a hot issue. But I'm only working in dentistry 3 days a month, so it's not going to be a challenge. It's going to be busy. I'm going to have 2 jobs in my what was going to be retirement, but I'm excited about it. It's going to be fun.
Now, I know you'll do a great job. So do you have any advice? Every once in a while, I think, oh, I should run for office. I should do something. But perhaps there's somebody listening to this podcast that really does have some aspirations. Do you have any advice for a dentist who may be considering running for elected office? Where would we start?
I think the best thing is baby steps and find a mentor, find someone you can confide in and talk to. I've seen this happen, not just dentists, but they come along there and all of a sudden they decide one day, by gosh, I'm going to run for office, and they have no experience. They haven't served on any kind of boards. They don't even know how to run a meeting, but they have all the answers and they run for office and they get beat, and then they're really more disenfranchised than they were before. So baby steps, get involved in your local, whether it's Boy Scouts, Salvation Army, YMCAs, church boards, and just start testing the waters. Do I feel comfortable making decisions? And maybe something's controversial and you're stuck in the middle of it. So you've got to find out if that's really what fits your fiber. And if it doesn't, that's fine. If it does, embrace it and get involved. And the other thing is always be ethical. You know, we always see the news and the way the media carries on and some of the politicians carry on. And stay above all that. You're going to be accused of things you never did. I wish I had done all the things I've been accused of because it would have been a great book.
More fun.
It would have been a fantastic book to write. But I'm a pretty boring guy, really. So just try to be yourself, though. Just have fun.
I think that's some great advice. So I teach at the school, and I let one of the dental students read your article, and I wanted them to pose a question to you. So here's her question. Do you feel that dentists have an ethical obligation to be a little political if it enhances oral health for the greater good of the public? For example, the ELSA Act that was recently passed. So for those of the listeners who maybe don't know what the ELSA Act is, the ADA advocated for the Ensuring Lasting Smiles Act, which would require that all private group and individual health plans cover medically necessary services resulting from a congenital anomaly or birth defect. The services covered under ELSA would include inpatient and outpatient care and reconstructive services and procedures, as well as adjunctive dental, orthodontic, or prosthodontic support. In April, ELSA passed the House of Representatives with 310 bipartisan votes. So what do we think? Do we need to be political at times?
Well, the question was, should they be a little political? And I would say no, they need to be a lot political. Everything comes down to the laws, the politics of it all. You want insurance reform. You want things like ELSA. There's a ton of things out there that we could
add. Loan reform.
There's student loan debt. And we need secondary institution reform, I think, what they're charging for tuition. That's another issue. So I think what the bottom line is, yes, everybody has an ethical obligation to get involved. Now, what does that mean? Maybe the introvert in the corner who has a strong opinion but will never get up at a meeting and say a word. Write a check. Write a letter.
Great points.
Do something to get involved. Still get involved in your local state association at some level. Get on a government committee or the legislative committees that you guys have. So I think you need to be involved. At least be informed. Just being informed is being involved. Yes. Some people are really not even informed. And it's your profession, especially if you're under 30. It's huge. If you're 75, probably not so much. So, but get involved when you're younger, because I'm going to tell you what, this stuff recycles. This stuff comes around. It comes around. And once we get something passed, it comes around again for a modification. So just try to be aware and be informed. It's your profession. It's your career. It's your patients. It's all about patients and your staff and you. It's everything.
No, I 100% agree. And I tell the students a lot. I say, if not me, then who? It's super easy to look at the person sitting next to you and say, well, they will do it. But remember that that person is looking at the person sitting next to them saying, well, they will do it. So it really needs to be yourself doing it. So I think you're correct. We all need to be a lot political. So, Dr. Rivas, what does being an ethical dentist mean to you? I know you've been on the council, so I'm expecting an amazing answer on this. How did you apply the ADA code to your everyday practice?
Well, when I was in dental school, there wasn't an ethics course. They really didn't delve into all the different points of ethics. In college, I never had any of that. But I had good parents that I think tried to raise me right. And let me be honest, have I screwed up? Sure. And if you don't think you have, you're probably wrong, because it's easy. Sometimes you don't know you did it. So I think it's a matter of learning your own personal abilities and skill sets and knowing how to treat people fairly and justly. And it's kind of the golden rule and the ability to get up in the morning and look in the mirror at yourself and have self-respect and self-awareness. So just some very basic things bring a lot of ethics into line.
Yes.
But it means a lot to be ethical. Everybody's watching. Your staff is watching. Other dentists are watching. The patient's watching. And they're not watching to judge, but they will know. They will know when something's not right. And if something goes south on you, address it. Explain it.
I agree.
Correct it. And move on.
I 100% agree. And I think even integrity goes a long way to your own well-being. And with the level of burnout we have in health professions, I teach to the students that having good moral and ethics goes a long way to preventing burnout, because it keeps your integrity intact. In regard to practicing ethically and to the ADA code, what advice would you give to recently graduated new dentists?
They need to be involved with other dentists of really different age groups, even nearly retirement people all the way down to other new dentists. Get feedback, get tips, listen more than you talk. Advice I should have taken probably. But I learned. So I think there's a lot of those things that really go a long ways. Get involved in a study club, even online. There's a lot of online sites and social media sites that, even though some of those tend to have snipers on them and people are trying to be disruptors, I think there's some of those sites that offer a lot to give feedback and just stay engaged.
That's great advice. So do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners about this article?
Well, I just think it's important to find the balance in the office, whether it's political issues or other issues. It's not just political stuff. There's all kinds of issues out there. Just pick up a paper and look at the headlines. And we need to just be listening to other people. And on the political thing, I might just throw this. I had a patient that was a pretty hardcore Democrat. And he used to give me a pretty hard time because I was not one. And one day I said, I never have met a Republican tooth or a Democrat tooth. So we call it the tooth party. And
that's
so
right.
Let's take care of you. And the politicians worry about the rest of it.
There we go.
So I think you just need to find that. Bring a sense of humor to it and bring the temperature down and have a little fun.
There we go. Well, thank you, Dr. Rivas, for being here. I really appreciate that. It's been a fun time getting to interview you today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
A final note about this episode. Please see the show notes for a link to the original article and stay tuned for future episodes. At the close of this episode, continue listening to hear the sections of the ADA's Principle of Ethics and Code of Professional Conduct pertinent to the original ethical Moment article. This article discusses one section of the ADA's Principle of Ethics and Code of Professional Conduct. The section is as follows. Justice. This principle deals with the fact that the dentist has a duty to treat people fairly. This principle expresses the concept that professionals have a duty to be fair in their dealings with patients, colleagues, and society. Under this principle, the dentist's primary obligations include dealing with people justly and delivering dental care without prejudice. In its broadest sense, this principle expresses the concept that the dental profession should actively seek allies throughout society on specific activities that will help improve access to care for all. This article also uses the American Dental Association Principles of Ethics and Code of Professional Conduct to guide through some of the concerns. The situation is mentioned specifically in Section 3F, Professional Demeanor in the Workplace. It states, dentists have the obligation to provide a workplace environment that supports respectful and collaborative relationships for all those involved in oral health care. And as always, remember to keep ethics at the forefront of your daily practice and stay tuned as Steve Judd decodes more dental dilemmas. Thank you.